Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy, and today there is no Rodrigo. He's actually partying it up at a Malumba concert in Dallas with his wife and another 10,000 girls or something like that. But today we have my second favorite, Finn, slightly behind FN 2187. Probably some of my Star Wars nerd will get that reference, but tonight, Finister from the Houston Dynamo. I always mess that up, man. But Houston Dynamo podcast is joining us today. What's up, Finn? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, man. Thanks for nailing the landing on the name. That was beautiful. That was gorgeous. It's good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. So Finister is probably new to the podcast scene. But man, this season he's been pretty good. I would definitely recommend you taking a listen to his podcast, especially, you know, obviously Houston Dynamo fans, here in Houston, but he is for everybody. Well, you can probably explain yourself better if you listen to the podcast, but man, so glad to have you. I'm looking forward to talking to you about CONCACAF soccer, man. I know that you try to jump around on your podcast a little bit when Dynamo are not playing. So what better way than talk about CONCACAF, my friend?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
All right. But so CONCACAF, the next there is three match days that happened within a week, same as last three matches. And this one definitely was a cracker, man. I don't know if you got to watch many of the matches. I know if you do follow the U.S. a little bit, or a lot, who knows, apart from the Dynamo. But man, I just want to go right through the table itself, and I'll start from the very bottom and just kind of hit some notes on it. And if you have anything to say about each team, jump in. But I really want to push on Mexico and the U.S. once we get to it. And so from the very beginning, or the very bottom at this point, we find Honduras sitting at in eighth place with 3 points. I think that's crazy. They've literally just fired their coach after just looking so awful when this team looks so promising with, you know, plenty of Dynamo stars that, you know, Finn, you've definitely seen between Albertelli's. You had Romel Quioto, Figueroa, Bonilla Garcia, who hardly plays. And obviously there's been plenty others that played, such as like Alex Lopez, which I don't know if he was before your time as a fan or not, but yeah, man, crazy. I don't know if you want to kind of just mention something about Honduras just because of so many Dynamo players in it.
Well, the ones we look at when we think of Honduras is Albertelli's, because, you know, he's Albertelli's. He helped us win the Open Cup. He was remarkable to watch in Houston. But Albert, through this tournament, he hasn't been very good. Like, he's rated a 6-4-2 rating through the tournament. And that's, I'm telling you, that's, I think, like fourth or fifth from the bottom. The other one that used to be here, Romel Quioto, he is at the bottom, 5.93. And then you look at guys like Figueroa, he's not doing too poorly, but the other night, that last match, he was awful. He showed, you look at him and Boney and the difference in their ratings compared to these younger guys on Honduras, it kind of shows you like, all right, time's caught up, and as hard as you try and as fit as you are, because Minor Figueroa is built like a damn Greek statue. Time catches up and it's catching up. And that's what's going on in Honduras. To me, what's happening to them now is like what happened to the U.S. the last time for the World Cup, where we were holding on to these older players and we didn't qualify because we were still holding on to that generation that should have been gone, but was still there. And that's what I think is kind of happening in Honduras right now. What about you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I also, you know, going back to like an Albertelli's and Quioto, you know, they were pretty, you know, playing on fire during the Gold Cup. And even before that, obviously, at least had been playing very good in Portugal, made that jump in France. But then you see it as like they've been so unlucky with injuries as well. Right. You know, and really key points, you know, having these matches towards the World Cup. You lose both Quioto and Albertelli's to injury. And then when they come back, they're not the same because they're not in form. So, yeah, Honduras is definitely going through this really odd stage. They were pretty close last World Cup to make it. Obviously fell short in their playoffs against Australia, but this time they're looking rough. There's still plenty of games. There's 8 games left, but that's a big jump to try to make it, directly, and you don't want to get stuck with another playoff, man. But with that, I'll go ahead and jump to El Salvador. They're sitting in 7th place, another team that has some familiar faces, such as Darwin Serén. The guy, he tends to be kind of good, tends to be kind of bad. I think it's a little lukewarm at times. With the Dynamo, it seemed like he had some good showings. And with Salvador, he's always like a starter. But the dude went from being a captain to like a, third-string captain now for El Salvador. And they just don't look the part. They did play some very tough matches, but as much as like you want to be hopeful for this team, it's tough, man. I want to know your point on just Darwin Serén. What do you think about him?
So Darwin is in a contract here. His contract's up this season for the Dynamo, which is what I'm mainly focusing on right now with him. And I don't think we should bring him back. He's been impressive for El Salvador, and I think that's what kind of helped him play his way back into the squad. But at the same time, we don't know if it's him having played his way in or someone like the guy I like, Derek Jones, somehow having played his way out into what appears to be a very roomy doghouse that Tab Ramos has. But internationally, Serén has been very good for El Salvador. He's been one of their best players.
Yeah, and I think, what happened with Serén too is, 2020 was such a short year, and there was a good stint of him just being looked good probably in tab size, and he did play well when was given the opportunity. But, man, that dropped very quickly in 2021. Jamaica was another one that whenever we started this 3 matches, looked like there was no way back. And it's crazy that they went and beat Honduras in Honduras. So they're looking decent. There's the joke, it used to be that Dynamo used to be FC Jamaica for a while. They used to have like 5-6 Jamaicans for a long time in their roster. I think that maybe some they still play with Jamaica. But anyways, there's always some good connection with the Dynamo and all the Central American teams. But Jamaica sits in 6th with 5 points, and above them in 5th place is Costa Rica with 6 points. I think right now we're going to start seeing that push for that 4th place really be what's going to be intriguing. I think some of these guys like Honduras, they may see themselves quickly out of the first 3 spots, man. Even though I want to touch on another Dynamo player being Ariel Lasseter, he didn't even play. And to me, he's trash. So unless you have anything to say about him or the team, feel free.
Oh, man, that was brutal. You don't like him. Look, I'm going to go back to Jamaica real quick because you said something that made my eyebrows perk. You said that Houston used to be jokingly referred to as FC Jamaica. I don't know why, but there was a part of me that kind of thought that's a little racist,
Yeah, I got you.
Not that we were Jamaica, just it shows the lack of knowledge in the front office to target Jamaican players based on what you could perceive as an eye test. You look at them and be like, oh, for sure. Cause they are fit. Mm-hmm. Right. But there's a lot more to it than that. It's, I don't know, but Ari Lasseter in that Gold Cup, he did well. I watched him in person. I was in Denver. He did very well. But for the Dynamo, aside from his debut, right? He scored, hit a brace, I think, in his first game. After that, why is he here? He's got to go this offseason too. He's just dead weight. He's taken up a spot that we can give to a young guy who we can develop. And it sucks to say this about Ari because his father was so good. His father was very good. But yeah, he would be a great USL championship player. He would tear it up down there.
Yeah, and I just looked at the roster, and yeah, definitely there's actually one guy still traced with the Dynamo currently playing with Jamaica, and that's Javon Watson. He played for Jamaica or for Houston, then he went to Dallas, and I think he even played in Austin. But anyways, yeah, you're right, man. I think Lassiter is somebody that I don't know how he gets called up to Costa Rica. Like, there has to be much better players, because the guy to me is a one trick pony, and he's supposed to be left footed, but even then that is questionable to me, my friend.
Yeah, his left foot's not very good, but I mean, I don't know. I wish he was better, but he's not.
He looks like a Ronaldo, right? Physically, you see this guy and you're like, man, this guy is probably a baller, and he's completely the opposite. And if it was me, I'd rather bring a water bottle instead of him, man.
Yeah, he's just, like I said, I think he's just dead weight. He doesn't contribute anything. You don't change anything. He had so many open chances, some clear-cut opportunities this year, and he just whiffed. If it was Maxi or Fafa or Pasher or, you know, Quintero, those are probably goals, but they were bad.
I guess I know, since you mentioned Fafa and Urruti, you make me feel good, because for the DynamoTheory.com, we had a, you know, kind of like who's going to be the, the golden boot for the Dynamo. And I put Fafa after watching him in preseason score like 2-3 goals. And the dude was just not hitting anything. And everybody had Maxi Urruti. And now I feel very good about winning that gold boot. But that's neither here nor there, I guess.
You know who I picked to score the most goals for the Dynamo this season?
Tell me, it was Christian Ramirez.
It was Christian Ramirez. I picked Christian Ramirez. Now, if we counted his goals in Scotland, he still wouldn't have won.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he'd be near Maxi. I know he started off pretty hot, but I've kind of lost track of him.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. He deserved better. But that can be a topic for towards the end of this, because I do want to hit some points on the Dynamo, my friend. For sure. So Finisterre in fourth place, we have Panama. They've started pretty well. They kind of obviously ended up getting destroyed by Canada on their last match. But overall, I think they have the potential to make that at least a fourth spot for qualifying. Obviously, a player from the Dynamo, it's Coco. I can't think of his last name. But he has been pretty good. I think it's taken him a little bit of time to get to the speed and physical game that is the MLS. But to me, if we have him in the Dynamo, I think he's going to be a good playmaker for sure. But with Panama, the dude is very solid. I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on Coco and on Panama?
Coco's last name is Carrasquilla. And I think Panama did the United States a big favor beating us the other night, because we have been on this kind of invincible run since through the Gold Cup and even through now. And I was kind of glad they did. It was an upset. There was no, I mean, I picked the U.S. to win, but they kind of brought us back to reality. As far as Coco Carrasquilla goes, he's here on loan. He's in Houston on a loan. So whether or not there's an option to buy, that's a big deal. And this was a kid who has a $7.5 million release clause in his contract, and over one summer was linked with Real Madrid. So he's caught the eye of some people. He's caught the eye of the biggest people in the world before. So the talent is there. We've seen it. He did not appear in this group stage, I do not think, for Panama. I'm looking at the stats. I know he was injured with us and he was working back to fitness. So I'm guessing, unfortunately, his injury with the Dynamo kind of bled over into this and cost the matches with Panama.
Yeah, well, because he got injured first three matches against Mexico. He had to come out, and that's kind of where it all started, after playing very well. But, I mean, if you see the thing with Coco is the fact that, you know, he played a full season in Spain, then came back, did Gold Cup, just kept adding games. And then we all know how Houston and Dynamo's coach, Todd Ramos, loves to rotate his players, not. So it just affects all those guys that have a lot of potential, and you know, they're investing money into them, but you can't expect for them to be there every 90 minutes. But with that, I'll go jump to Canada, which to me, Canada has been the most impressive, just because, like the U.S., I feel like they're in a good spot with like a golden generation of their own. And dude, that goal that Alfonso Davis scored Sunday, it was one of the best goals I've seen in my life. Just the way he made a sprint. He was about 50 yards away from the ball, made a sprint and saved it at the edge of the line before it went out and scored. It was impressive. I think Canada has just been showing that they do have game. They're able to hold. So they just need to keep maintaining and winning points at home. Of course, we have a Canadian of their own as well. Like, we've had a bunch of Canadians come through, or take that back. We've had a very good Canadians come through the Dynamo, and this time being Tyler Pastor. I think he should be very happy that he was a part of the process itself. You know, being a part of it, of course, injury has been tough on him. But, man, what are your thoughts on Canada thus far?
Well, I was watching, ironically enough, like Football Americas on ESPN Plus, and they were talking about Canada. And one of the commentators made the argument that Alphonso Davies is the best player in this entire tournament. And to be honest, I think they're right. Who's next? Weston McKennie? I don't think Lozano's playing.
Yeah.
Right? He got, remember, his injury was pretty horrific.
Yeah, he's not there yet. I agree. I think for sure, I think Davies is there, man. I agree with you and whoever made that comment.
I mean, if Pulisic was in, you could argue Pulisic. But he hasn't been very good internationally. But yeah, Alphonso Davies is a freak. I can't stand playing against him on FIFA. He just marauds up and down the sideline. He's ridiculously fast. He's like ungodly fast. You can't get away from him. He's like the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you know, it was whenever it was 2018, I believe it was my first like full season ticket for the Dynamo holder. And seeing this kid live was just ridiculous. And I saw him there, and then I saw him in the Gold Cup. And, you know, he was 16, 17 at the time. I think 16. And I was so impressed just how good he was. And for him to go from, you know, Vancouver Whitecaps, which is a terrible MLS team for a long time, to, you know, winning the Champions League, I mean, that makes CONCACAF proud big time. But with that, passing to the U.S., this is when I think the conversation gets good, because obviously the top two in the table are the U.S. and Mexico, and they will be facing each other in November. I think it's November 12th, and I'm extremely excited to see that match happen. I really don't understand what they're playing in Cincinnati. I think that's just kind of weird. They should have moved Cincinnati for the last game they played. But at the same time, it is what it is. It's going to be a U.S.-Mexico. And for all the marbles, I really don't know who would win, because it's going to be a good one. But with the U.S., Serginho Dest has looked the par. And I agree with you. I think McKennie is probably one of their best players currently. And as much as I want to be a fan of Christian Pulisic, and I definitely know he's a very talented player, he's always injured. I feel like he's, you know, misses more games than he is in. And as much with Chelsea, he does show his value, even missing the big games at times, kind of just disappearing. When it comes to the U.S., he's definitely just disappears for long periods of the match. He got very lucky that he scored that PK. What was it? The Nations League. And that kind of propelled him to be again the face of the team. But man, I put McKennie, I put Tyler Adams in front of him. I put Serginho Dest. There's more players, but man, what are your thoughts so far in the U.S., my friend?
So I think Pulisic is just like, man, I could win more with Chelsea. I want to fuck around and say I picked up a knock somewhere and international rolls around. I think his focus is Europe, because truth be told, he's not going to win with the United States what he's already won with Chelsea and can still win. They have arguably the best team in Europe. You can make that argument. They're good. They're really good.
Okay, but to that point, I just want to add that he already won the Champions League. What else can he win? You know, when Champions League, I mean, yes, you can win another Champions League, but you get my drift. I think with
the Premier League, you can win the Carabao Cup, you can win the FA Cup, you can win the, what is it, FIFA World Cup. You can win all those. And like, I think he knows realistically, by the time he's done playing, he will not have a World Cup. He won't have an Olympic medal. You know, he's not going to win a World Cup with the United States. It's not going to happen anytime soon. We are almost a century behind other nations.
And to that, I feel like there's players that show up and actually play way better, such as like a Brendan Aaronson that can kind of play that same position. Or I always forget his name. Is it Matthew Hoppe? And obviously, as arch enemy being Pepe, man, he's been playing pretty good, but obviously he's more of a striker. But yeah, I just feel there's players that are, you know, MLS based or just, you know, playing smaller divisions or, you know, yeah, smaller divisions in Europe that tend to show up much better than what Christian Pulisic does. And you're right. They may never win a World Cup, but I think it's, you know, you can't really say never because they do have such a talented team.
I will say of all the forwards that Berhalter took in this go round, I would take Pulisic over any of them, including all of them. Zardes, Ariola, Pepe, and Hoppe. I would take Pulisic over every single one of them. It's not, we didn't even have our best team out there this time around. It's really not. They're not all there. Mm-hmm. And they might not ever all be there.
Yeah.
But on paper, when we're together, this is a team that could finish one or two, should finish one or two in this every year and never miss the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, we hope that, you know, it was definitely like a abnormality that they missed like the last World Cup, right? Because even as, you know, being Mexican, being a Mexican fan, you want the U.S. to be there because that's your rival. It's if, you know, if Barcelona never played Real Madrid or, you know, they missed out, it's just not the same. You kind of need that drive. And in CONCACAF, you know that the best leagues are MLS and Liga MX always playing each other, and they bring so much talent from the outside, being mostly South American. Obviously, we know the MLS has brought many Europeans as well. And I think it just creates a better league, better competition, and it just kind of spills over to international play. And who knows, it'd be great that we'd be alive and we see one of those teams that we tend to watch win it, right? I mean, to me, even if like a team like Costa Rica would win the World Cup, I'd be excited for them just because it'd be the first CONCACAF. I wouldn't be super, super excited, but you get my drift.
Yeah, I actually, when it comes to the World Cup, I really follow England. If we're talking English men's national team, man, like, because I'm a huge EPL league fan, like I'm a Tottenham Hotspur fan. So underachieving it sucks being a Dynamo and Hotspur fan. But I would follow England, but I will say with this team right now, they'll make this coming World Cup. And I don't think they'll get out of the group stages, but when the United States hosts it in 2026, this is a very good group, and there's going to be other ones that appear. This group is going to be peaking together, and that on our home territory, in our country, that I predict will be something special. It should be, but in U.S. fashion, watch us fucking not qualify.
Well, to ease you of that pain, they're already qualified. Both of them, Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. are automatically qualified for that World Cup. So there's not much.
We can find a way to screw that up. We'll figure something out. I mean, I pick up the newspaper. I read the news every day on my phone, and it's like, oh, we're doing this again, or oh, this person said that again. But yeah, we could find a way to screw this up.
Yeah, I'm sure if the rumors are right, you know, whenever McKinney broke protocol, maybe he was hanging out with Christian Pulisic's sister. And, you know, stuff like that, you know, young guys can definitely break that apart and break that chemistry apart. Hence, maybe why we're not seeing them together as much anymore, too. And that's just bad for the U.S., you know, especially when you have so many young guys under 25 in one team.
I'd be careful using the phrase break that apart when referring to McKinney taking out Pulisic's sister. That might come across as a little dirty.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not a good look. That happened in Tottenham with Jan Vertonghen and Christian Eriksen.
Really?
The rumor was that Vertonghen boinked Eriksen's wife or something, and one of them showed up to training with a black eye.
I mean, I do remember Chelsea. I remember, what's his name? What's the guy's name?
Don't say David Luiz. I can't stand him.
No. It was John Terry and some random, which Waterbridge, some, I forget the other guy's name, really not known, but he apparently, yeah, that happened between them. So, I mean, you never know. I mean, young guys, you know, kind of winning everything, they feel like they're untouchable, man. And I think, like you said, that's the only way that they can mess it up. But I think you have plenty of players that can come in and, you know, take those roles. Like, I'm super excited for, like, a Gianluca Busio to see him. And definitely, you know, 2026 is the World Cup that I feel the CONCACAF teams have a way better chance. And hopefully, you know, that is the U.S., Mexico, Canada, whoever it is. But I think they're going to be in their prime hitting all cylinders just because they're so young. If you look at every past World Cup, usually the teams that win it are in, like, in the 28 average age. And that's where it seems that's what's going to be happening. But as much as I want to talk about the U.S., I do want to hit a little bit of Mexico, if you're cool with that.
Oh, real quick.
All right, I want to say something. Go for it. Yeah.
The only problem I have with the United States roster right now is I am still seeing too many players currently in the MLS. That, to me, I'm looking at, there's a lot. There's still too many. I mean, we know the MLS is a step down. When this becomes Europe,
I
would feel more comfortable.
No, I agree. I know what you mean. But if you really see it too, I mean, yeah, you look at the English team, and obviously we all know the EPL is like the best team. And same thing with, like, when Spain won, everybody pretty much playing Spain. Italy plays, and everybody plays in Italy. But to me, the idea of, like, the MLS is just the diversity, and then just the, obviously, it's not even close to those top European leagues. But I feel like if you have a good mixture of, you know, European players as well as local players, local league players, I think you can have a very good blend. And I think that's how, in Mexico's case, it's been successful in some aspects, you know, having a little bit of mix. But now you see the teams like the U.S., you're right. I mean, there's not a lot of them, but at least the players they have tend to be the, you know, the best of the best on the MLS, and that's how it should be. There's not a ton of favoritism, apart from maybe Sebastian the Jet that seems to get called up all the time. I feel like Greg Berhalter has some kind of crush on the guy, maybe because he dates Becky G or something. But other than that, it's just, you know, Berhalter's another different topic because I don't think he's a good coach at all. He just felt like in a good group of players, but that's my opinion, I suppose. Yeah, but yeah, I agree with you. I feel like eventually you need to have.
You wanted me to chime in there. My bad.
No. Yeah,
I was gonna... you were transitioning into Mexico. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. You're good. Yeah, and I was gonna say the same thing with Mexico. Obviously, like if you look at the Mexican team, there's way less players that play in Europe, right? A lot of them play in the MLS, and there's a ton of them that play in Liga MX, and I think you just need a good blend. I don't think that the squad that the Mexico has is not meant to win a World Cup just because you need more international face. And, you know, it used to be – Mexico used to be the giant team in CONCACAF, but I feel like every year it's just getting tighter and tighter. You know, obviously you're not playing – it's not Germany playing Latvia or some tiny country that other – you know, players play in that small country. And so competition is getting much better. Just going back to, again, like teams like Panama, that you look at their roster and 80% of their team plays some second division in Europe, which to me, that's just already a you know, a good thing to go to. Obviously, you mentioned how Coco Carrasquilla played in, which you said 7.5 million. What's it called?
He has a $7.5 million or pound, whatever it is.
Yeah, which I feel like is crazy number. Yeah,
but that's where he was. Like, yeah. I don't know. I did a profile on him, and he had this phenomenal season. Okay, they changed coaches at the end of the season. They re-signed him to this sweet ass contract with this massive release clause. This is when Real Madrid was looking at him.
Right,
Madrid decided not to go after him. This new manager ended up hating his fucking guts and didn't play him and wants him gone. Like right. There has been a fallout with the manager, and that's why he's here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way now that I cannot remember who he's contracted to, man. But there's no way, and they know it, that they're getting $7.5 million. So that fee is also, it's been cut. Nobody knows how much it is, but I don't see him staying.
Yeah, I think the team is Cartagena. And it's going to be tough because Houston's going to have to pay some good money for him. And who knows? I mean, I believe that, you know, in Ted we trust. But till we see it, here is seeing it is believing it. And so I won't believe it till I see it. But yeah, looking at like teams like, again, Panama, just for, you know, the heck of it, there's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that play in Panama. Everybody else plays, you know, somewhere. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's gross.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have obviously players playing in Bolivia, you know, obviously more countries, but just having that international you know, ability to, you know, some of those players may play in Bolivia, but they were playing in what are their Champions League called? Copa Libertadores. Yeah. Well, they're playing in Libertadores.
Copa Libertadores.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So you know, they get the ability to play, you know, teams from Brazil, whether it be Santos, Corinthians, Flamengo. You just have the ability to play better teams and you just keep getting better. And I think that's the reason why the competition has gotten so much or has increased so much in the last 10, 12 years in CONCACAF. You know, to me, being a Mexican fan and listening to the broadcast in Spanish, I hate it because all they do is the Mexican media just completely tearing Mexico apart because they can't be a Canada. Or it's like, dude, it's not the same Canada that you're used to seeing. That you know, you could score 10 goals on them. It's not the same thing. But, yeah, if you want to have any else to add on this stages that we've seen. And I do have a question, though. What do you expect about this, you know, next match between Mexico and the U.S.?
Where is it?
It's going to be played November 12th, and it'll be playing in Cincinnati.
Oh, man. Like make a prediction? I would say,
yeah, like how are you feeling? I mean, you know, we've seen 6 games from both of the teams.
I feel like a draw is as good as a win.
Yeah,
when it comes to that, I feel like a draw is as good as a win.
And
because they're the gap, I still think Mexico is the best team in, you know, in our group. We're not far behind, so for us to play them here and leave with a point or 3, to me is fine, because after us in Mexico, there's a pretty big drop. And those are teams that we should beat. We should not lose to anybody other than Mexico. There's nobody else I think that the U.S. should lose to.
And I think that's a big, right. I think, you know, when it comes to, you just want to be one of the first 3 teams in the table, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You start over whatever group you land on, and your FIFA ranking doesn't change much whenever, you know, you're done with this. I mean, we know that Mexico and the U.S. are always, you know, top 15, top 10 teams in the world. So you're already seeded to a very good pot when it comes to the drawing of the World Cup. So just make the World Cup. And I don't want to see any of those two, definitely those two, not make it to the World Cup. I agree with you, man. A tie sounds, you know, about right.
What's crazy is if you were to ask somebody about the history of the United States playing Mexico in soccer, football, I guarantee you most people would think it's very lopsided in Mexico's favor, when in truth, it's not as wide as you would expect. It was, when I saw what it was a lot closer than I really thought it would be. I looked, I was like, wow, we're not that far from that moment. Like, I thought that we just continually got beat up by them, but it turns out we are pretty close.
Yeah.
Historically.
Yeah. And I mean, and major trophies like the Gold Cup, it's pretty split. You know, it's the numbers are right there. And then the U.S. has gotten the best of Mexico, you know, in World Cups. Was it 2002, I think, that they eliminated Mexico? So, I mean, competition-wise, it's all there.
Oh, I wonder what the fans were yelling at the American supporters that year.
I'm sure it started with a P, man. It's been there for a while.
Might have ended with an Uto.
Yeah, and, you know, cancel culture is coming to get whoever they want. So,
yeah, and I saw they stopped it in Denver, man, when Mexico played. they stopped the match two or three times, and the match was over. Oh no, it went to penalties, but they had to stop it. And they just kept doing it. It's like, I don't even know like how to handle this anymore.
Yeah, and I think as a Mexican, culture-wise, I know that if you tell them to stop, they're going to keep doing it. So it's just going to get worse. So, you know, them doing it in Mexico, there's not going to be a ton of, you know, I don't know, whatever, compared to the U.S. If they do it in the U.S., you shouldn't, but this is how they make their money. All the Mexican, you can go back, you know, the last 10 years, Mexico plays all their friendlies in the U.S. because they fill the stadiums up no matter where they go.
You know, like going back to that particular word, I know that they do not mean it like in a really derogatory sense. It's not like saying the N-word with the hard R at the end. It's meant kind of like in a joking way you would yell it at a friend, but not really your friend. Like to me, it's not like a homophobic slur. It's a locker room joke, but it's 2021. Locker room jokes are no longer appropriate for stadiums of 60 to 70,000 people.
Yeah, it was definitely something that was used, and it was just funny. It was when the goalie would do a gold kick. they have a saying that they would call, let's see if I can translate this well. They would call Memo Ochoa La Tanga. And so La Tanga means tongue. No, that sounded weird. My Mexican's coming out. But basically, because it like a bikini doesn't cover anything. And so the whole joke was like, this guy's a bikini bottom because he lets everything go through. And so it's jokes like that. The Uto is definitely something that is used for sure as kind of to just get in someone's skin, but it's never like what people make it out to be. Is it used for that sometimes? Maybe. And of course it's everything how you say it, but
because you just read it, it sounds pretty awful. That's right. What it is. It's being used out of context and it's getting a bad read, and it's being read in a normal tone of voice, which I mean, if you did that today, you just charted what everybody said and then read it in a normal voice, we don't sound like monsters.
Right. Yeah.
At least I would. I certainly would.
I mean, it goes back to, even apart from that word, wasn't it Edison Cavani and Man U that he called somebody like a negrito? And that is not, that's not bad. Like, that's more you say it for, I call my wife kind of the same thing. And it's more just because you're, I don't know, it's like a caring, loving word. It's not a bad word. That's why I get a kick when I see people like look at a Crayola and be like, hey, it says negro here. Like, why are you cussing or, cussing a scene? It's like, that's the name of the color. Like, you literally translating the color name. So.
Right. But in their mind, the word is pronounced negro.
Right.
So in their mind, we are in the 50s again.
Right.
And, the mom's in the kitchen baking a pie with a baby on her hip. And the husband's coming home to a highball of whiskey or whatever you make with those.
Yeah. And going back to your thing, I'm the same way. I feel like, when I used to go to the matches and they would say it when it was new, I was there saying it myself because it was a part of like what you did. But then once, I was like 12, 13, 14, whatever.
And I've done it too.
And so then eventually, like, once you kind of like, it's like, okay, to me, it's more like, dude, it's so like, it's been done. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of the things like that's, people go to a game and start, ref, you suck. Like, dude, it's been done. Like, it is so annoying. It's repetitive. And I agree. If it really offends people, I understand. There's words that I used to say, to friends jokingly, 10, 15 years ago that now nobody says for the same reason. So I understand. And I am definitely against it. And I don't want to Mexico to be knocked out of the World Cup because of something stupid like that. But with all the great matches that we have, I do want to let Finister give out your social medias, man, your podcast. I think you do a great job. I already mentioned it. And so go ahead and do all that. And then we can talk a little about the Dynamo.
All right, cool, man. So I host the Houston Dynapod podcast. You just type that into Google and press enter and it'll pop up. I talk about the Dynamo, I tell jokes, tell true stories about my sometimes crazy life. And I don't tell you all of them. There's some pretty wild ones in there. But yeah, if you like the Dynamo and laughing or whatever, maybe getting offended, come give a listen and check me out. And I'm glad you had me on, man. This is kind of cool. I don't really do this a whole lot. I'm kind of antisocial. Like, I know, like, on the podcast, I might seem like an extrovert, but man, really, I'm an introvert. Like, I don't just go out and stuff.
Like, I think it's definitely fate, man. I mean, we were talking and it seems like we live in the same suburb city in Houston, and then we're talking more and it seems like we're in the same section at BBA. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I'm glad that you were able to jump in. It's crazy
that we both live in this, to put it nicely, conservative small town.
Oh yeah.
Where small town. If you want to watch a soccer match, you have to do it at home because the bars don't have it. They don't have it at all. I've had to watch on my phone at the bar. And like, it's so conservative. People are like, what are you doing? What are you watching on that phone?
That's funny you say that, because I usually, it's not necessarily a bar or restaurant, but I would go to, like, you know, during the week, I had the routine of going to Planet Fitness at night. And if there was a game, I'd be like, hey, can you change it? And they acted like it was the end of the world. Like, why are we putting soccer up on the screen? And I was like, dude, there's literally no one at the gym. Let me just go ahead and watch it. But
they play it there. I've seen Premier League. I've been to Planet Fitness in the mornings on Saturdays and Sundays. And I've gone there and I've watched Tottenham, you know, like on the bike or something. Like, yeah, they've had it. But that was Friendswood. I don't recall seeing it here. If I want to watch soccer here, I have to go to like Martinez Restaurant and Grill, restaurant and bar, bar and restaurant. Their food's not bad, but they have it on. But I don't really, it's not a place I would go like by myself.
Yeah. We try to do as much local stuff. We grew up in Pearland, really. Well, I'm from Mexico City, but I landed in Houston close to Pearland and then eventually just grew up in Pearland. So I stick closer to Pearland, but we do try to do venture elsewhere, to be honest, and stay local. Since we're living in Alvin for the future, it seems for a long time, we're building a house. So hopefully we're gonna be settled in Alvin for a long time.
It's good, man. It's not a bad place. It has its negatives,
but yeah, the drive to the Dynamo Stadium.
Yeah, I go 6 to 288. To get up there.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. See, whenever for 2.5 years we were living in Midtown, so it was just a 5-minute Uber ride over there. It was great.
Oh man, that's crazy. I used to live off of 45, and that was only a 25-30 minute ride, which seems short compared to the commute now it's a solid 45 minutes.
But hey, so what I wanted to touch on real quick, I guess that's our last topic, and it can go however long, but obviously, we know how the Dynamo have been awful at times, you know, not winning for like 14, 15 games straight. And so with about 5-6 matches left of the Dynamo, playoffs seem like are definitely not going to happen. And, you know, with this team, I wouldn't even want to be in the playoffs. But looking into the offseason and 2022, what do you see happening, or what do you expect, or what do you want, I guess, to happen with the team? And, you know, Ted, our new owner, Ted Siegel, has been a guy that talks a lot. And I'm in the perspective that I want to see something happen. But it's all yours, Finn.
All right. So what I want is a left back, center back, right back, striker, goalkeeper. What I expect is to be disappointed. And I think we will see an increase in salary and wage in transfer spending and salary and our wage structure. But I don't think it's going to be what we want. I don't think it's going to be what we, as the fourth largest market in the country, expect. It's not going to be on par with the expectation of the fans, but at the same time, our fans don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the team has been bad for 3 years in a row now. I consider them all right in 2018. They did win a trophy and we were competitive. But for 3 years after, it's been rough. I got my first season tickets in 2018. The only reason I didn't renew him is because I really don't have the money.
Yeah.
I don't have it, or I would still go. But we have what appears to me, either it's a protest that has the Walker, Brenner, Matt Jordan crowd that was just turned off by them and they left and they're not back yet. But we don't show up like the fourth largest market in the nation either.
I think to touch on that, I think the fact that, you know, we all know, and if people are in denial, it's all a lie, people. But we got the best team, you know, from San Jose to come and be a Houston team. And, you know, we were given this golden egg that we just did not take care of, right? We won two straight championships. Our academy was awful. I mean, I remember my brother at the time wanted to join. It was super expensive to join. And by the time he got the opportunity, he ended up like bailing out. He played for Chivas USA Academy for a while and then went to college. And the academy was just not set up right. And then there was no spending of money. So it just deteriorated so quickly. And this like great fan base that would fill up Robertson Stadium. And obviously, it did trickle into BBA having a brand new stadium. But when you're not winning, when you're not, you know, actively, you know, you should not be losing in any matches in Houston. I mean, you should be taking the atmosphere of the heat, you know, the 100 degree weather, whatever it is, and you allow Portland to come to your stadium and beat you. It just does not make sense. And a lot of that is just, you know, things that you can't just necessarily put an ownership to an extent. I think obviously the GM, which he's gone, there's little things that could have been done. I mean, I feel like a second training pitch could have been done a long time ago. And, you know, things that this new owner comes in and has good ideas. I mean, dude, you go to the game and they flash the lights, like they flicker the lights for halftime and stuff. It's like, dude, you could have done that. Like, that's not new, you know? And things like that obviously are not going to get more people to come to the stadium. But if I don't expect the guy to come and, you know, spend $10 million on a player, but if he spends $3 million on a player, that's triple what we've been spending in the past. And I just try to see it with, you know, a hope for sure. Like, hold on. Have some hope in that, but again, we need to see. The guy's been talking a lot, and to that, I feel like Tom Ramos is not the coach that the Dynamo deserve. I think the guy is stuck in the youth system. You know, to me, the way he approaches games are like if he was playing small tournament, World Cup tournaments for the U20 that just, you know, you put your best players and just basically like work them till they have no more legs. And I don't think that's the approach you need. You need to be able to rotate players, even if it's not the players you wanted. You need to let other players play. So it's like, okay, you have the opportunity to say, look, this is what he did in a game. Because training, we all know there's players like Neymar that don't go train, but they'll show up for the game. So of course, that's, you know, very good player. Like, exactly.
Talking about practice.
Right.
Not a game. Practice, man.
And when you get players like Fuenmayor, which again, I'm not a huge fan of him, but when he did play in 2018, he did well. And his times was just cut short, you know, his playing time, even with Cabrera. And so if you don't give those players the opportunity to play, then do you really expect them to want to play for that coach? And I just don't think that's the way that you need to see it. And I don't know, that may be just me, the only one that thinks Tom Ramos needs to go, but I feel that he may end up getting another year, and that kind of bothers me. I feel like if you're getting a new GM, might as well start fresh.
Well, when you mentioned Ted Siegel, you'd be happy if he spent $3 million. That would be about twice the amount we got for Albert Elise, and we still haven't been paid yet. So it kind of shows you how bad.
Yeah, our GM was too, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, it's – you look at the Dynamo, and one thing you don't see is advertising. There's so little media coverage of this club. It's ridiculous. like there's two topics I could talk about on my podcast. I could talk about Houston Dynamo. I could talk about Tottenham.
Yeah.
When I look at the difference, I go, this is a soccer team in Houston. And there were four or five podcasts. The Tottenham there, I mean, the list goes on and on. I was like,
right.
This is it. This is the one. I'm doing this one. And plus, like, you know, I came up with a sweet ass name. Houston Dynapod. Like, bro, you know what it is. But with this club, like, as far as Tab goes, I don't think he's going to get another year unless it's Bliss. And yeah. From what I've read, it's Wobble and Onstad.
Yeah.
They're finalists.
I think the name is pronounced out Wabel.
Wabel?
Yeah, Wabel? I think it's Craig Wabel.
That the W guy.
Yeah.
But to me, I looked them all. Like I went through that list that we saw from Dynamo Insider.
Yeah.
Maybe he was keeping tabs.
Yeah, and I know one of the guys that you wanted, which was it Albright? He's gone too.
No, it was Bliss. My top pick was Bliss, and then Senderos.
Yes.
Felipe Senderos, because of his massive ties to Europe. Yeah. If there was a way they could have brought them both, like that's why the episode was called Swiss Bliss. Like that would have been, that was a catchy name, cheeky name. That to me, that would have been my favorite. And I think that we are missing out. I think that Bliss is the best one, because if you look on paper and you look at the stats, Bliss is the best candidate. He is the most successful. That's why I wanted him. And truth be told, I was okay with Tab getting another year if Bliss came in, because now Tab has zero excuses.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. Mm-hmm. This is a guy you played with. This is a guy you worked with. Maybe Bliss loves you. Maybe he's coming here to fucking fire you. But the odds are he loves you, or likes you at least. So I would have been okay with that, because who are we going to go get?
Yeah, no, I agree, man.
Luchi Gonzalez? He would be a better coach than Tab Ramos.
Yeah.
He is more qualified than Tab Ramos. Would you be okay with that? Because that's what we'd be doing.
I think Tab Ramos should have been hired as their academy guy first, and then maybe eventually move, you know, kind of how they did with Cabrera, take care of RGB, and then it's like he showed up that he was
a good
enough coach.
But we don't have an RGB anymore.
No, we don't, of course. But you know, that's what they should have done. And seeing, you know, to me, I know it was a crazy rumor of like there's a Mexican coach that was coaching the Olympic team.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And I feel rumor. Even that guy has, you know, people are like, well, it's the same thing as Tab Ramos. And I'm like, no, it's not, because the guy actually played in the Olympics and has weight. You know what I mean? Like there's, and he had been a coach before in Liga MX and stuff like that. So
yeah, it was, but I look at how would he have fit with this roster? I don't think he would have fit very well at all. Being Mexican with this current roster, I think he'd be a terrible fit.
And you're, I think,
right. Tab's a better fit than him.
I think, well, yeah, especially because of all the players that he's brought in. But, you know, I think one thing that the Houston ownership group does not understand is that one of the biggest groups that goes to a game are from Mexico, right? So, you know, I'm not a Tigres fan. I'm not a Monterrey fan. But those teams, when they come and play, they fill up that stadium. You know, those fans are loyal.
Dude, they turn the whole walking distance up there into a dang flea market.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've never seen anything like it. It's like, where did these pop-up shops come from? And no, sir, I don't want a blanket. It's 106 degrees outside.
And I mean, those teams have been, you know, obviously, like, top teams maybe the last 10 years. You know, obviously, you have teams like America and Chivas are much bigger teams. And I'm a Chivas fan. And even when Chivas comes to play in BBA, they don't fill up the stadium completely. Man, they get 80%, but you know,
Harris did.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, I was having that conversation with my brother. Was, you know, people wouldn't come to watch Elise when he was with the Dynamo, but obviously Honduras comes and they fill up the stadium. So I think they need to gauge exactly. I mean, to me, you don't want to get like a old Mexican player, because I feel like it's pointless, like to get like a Guardado or something like that to come play for us.
But I'd be fine with Chicharito.
Oh, man.
I would have been okay with that.
I agree. I think Chicharito would have been so, you know, good for the community in Houston. That stadium would have filled up. It's going to be full the 20th when they come and play. And if not, it's going to be pretty dang close. I know it's a Wednesday game, but still, you know, Chicharito drives people in. I know it drives me in. Every time he'll come, like, I need to go, you know, check out when he plays with Mexico or with LAFC or LA Galaxy. Because even Carlos Vela doesn't even have that much of a pull. But
Wayne Rooney and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I was there for those. I was not missing those, man. Seeing Ibrahimovic in person.
Oh, yeah.
He is incredible. I've seen Suarez in person. I've seen the Mexican team in person. I've seen Cavani in person. I've seen members of Milan, Man City, Man U.
Yeah.
I've seen Lukaku in person. And Ibrahimovic is better than all of them. Suarez is second.
Yeah.
Suarez is absolutely amazing. He had a Rabona assist versus Mexico. I think pretty sure it was a Rabona assist.
When they played NRG. Mexico
at NRG. And it was the most incredible thing. And to this day is. I mean, Lamela's Rabona versus Arsenal.
Yeah.
Was big. But what Suarez did was incredible.
And I mean, we know that obviously those guys are like international stars, right? Or I think one that you miss just for the hell of it, because he was one of my good or favorite players growing up, was David Villa. And just seeing the guy play is just ridiculous. But Zlatan is just, I mean, the guy is, what, 40 years old? He has my same birthday, which is crazy. He's like
on another level, man.
10 years apart.
He's a man amongst boys.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is...
And he knows it, which is the coolest part.
Yeah. He's fearless. And then you have, like, a Wayne Rooney. I mean, a Nani. Like, I think the Dynamo may not want to do that, but I think it's time for them to do that and kind of rebuild. But they have to do it right. Because even, like, Rooney coming into D.C. was great for, like, 2 years. And then look at D.C. now. You know what I mean? Like, they just are not the same team that Rooney left.
Chicharito would put more seats in BBVA than Wayne Rooney.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That's what you got to kind of look at when you gauge the player.
Right. Yeah.
And Zlatan might beat Chicharito, but I don't think he would either.
Well, and I don't think I don't think some players would even want to come to Houston when it comes. You know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, LA, I mean, we all know.
There's no appeal.
Right.
Here. I mean, yeah, we have good weather for what, 7 months? But those other five are brutal.
Yeah.
Three of those are like, how did people live here without air conditioning? And those are the people that we need fighting our wars, because those people are hardcore.
Yep, exactly. And so, well, man, I don't want to keep you up any longer than I have to. It's been a great talking to you. Hopefully we can do that every now and then. You know, you're more than welcome to join us in Crossing Soccer Borders. And feel free, man, to reach out. And again,
yeah, I'm sure we'll talk. We need to go get that beer sometime.
Yeah, definitely, man. We'll definitely have to hang out, catch a game, especially since, you know, playoffs aren't going to happen anytime soon. But maybe that Montreal match, maybe something we can catch for sure.
That'd be a good one. We got Kiki Struna coming back and Romel Kyoto and Victor Wanyama.
Oh, yeah. People forget about him, but the guy's solid. But with that, keep crossing soccer borders.